Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Power and Progress. Our Thousand-Year Struggle Over Technology and Prosperity by Simon Johnson and Dironik Cimoglu is a work of economic history and political economy that challenges the popular belief that innovation naturally raises living standards for everyone. Spanning roughly a millennium, the authors argue that technology is not destiny, it is steered by choices made within institutions and shaped by conflicts over power. Across episodes from pre-industrial production to the Industrial Revolution and the contemporary digital economy, they emphasize that the gains from new tools and new organizational methods often flow first, and sometimes mainly, to those with economic and political leverage. Broad-based prosperity, in their account, emerges when societies create countervailing forces such as worker voice, democratic accountability, and public policy that channels innovation toward widely shared productivity gains rather than narrow rent extraction. The book is both a critique of modern techno-optimism and a policy-oriented appeal to rethink how incentives and governance can steer innovation, including artificial intelligence, toward human flourishing. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, progress is not automatic technology, follows power. A central theme is that technological change does not reliably translate into shared prosperity. Johnson and Cimoglu argue that what societies call progress often reflects the priorities of influential actors who finance, deploy, and regulate new technologies. When powerful firms or elites can shape markets and rules, innovation may be directed toward protecting their position, reducing labor bargaining power, or capturing new streams of income, even if aggregate output rises. The authors use a long historical frame to separate the appearance of progress from the lived experience of most people, highlighting how wages, working conditions, and political voice can stagnate even while new machines spread. This emphasis shifts the reader away from a purely engineering view of technology and toward an institutional view who decides which problems are worth solving, who bears adjustment costs, and who captures the surplus. The implication is that optimism or pessimism about technology is misplaced unless it is paired with attention to governance. The same underlying innovations can support either inclusive growth or entrenched inequality, depending on how power is distributed and constrained. Secondly, lessons from a thousand years of uneven prosperity. The book draws on a wide historical sweep to argue that the relationship between innovation and living standards has repeatedly been mediated by social and political arrangements. Instead of treating the Industrial Revolution and later waves of mechanization as straightforward engines of mass enrichment, the authors highlight how long stretches of history featured modest gains for ordinary workers alongside substantial gains for owners and organizers of production. They stress that periods associated with broader wage growth and improving welfare required more than inventions. They coincided with institutional changes that widened participation, supported public goods, and increased bargaining power for workers. By placing modern debates about automation and digital platforms into this long arc, the authors encourage readers to see contemporary outcomes as contingent rather than inevitable. The historical approach also functions as a warning against present-day complacency. If earlier societies often experienced an illusion of progress, where headline advances did not translate into broad security, then today's rapid diffusion of software and artificial intelligence could repeat the pattern unless choices are made differently. History, in their telling, offers mechanisms, not nostalgia. It clarifies how distributional conflict shapes technology's trajectory. Thirdly, automation versus productivity that complements workers. A recurring argument is that not all innovation is equally beneficial for workers and communities. The authors distinguish, at a high level, between technologies that primarily replace labor and technologies that raise productivity while complementing human capabilities. When innovation is strongly oriented toward automation, firms can reduce labor demand, weaken worker leverage, and concentrate gains among owners and top earners, even if efficiency improves. By contrast, technologies and organizational changes that help workers become more productive can support rising wages, stronger middle-class employment, and broader diffusion of benefits. This framing matters because it treats the direction of innovation as a choice shaped by incentives, management goals, and policy, rather than as an unavoidable path toward ever more substitution. The book uses this lens to critique the assumption that the most advanced technology is automatically the most socially valuable. It also clarifies what is at stake in current discussions about artificial intelligence, whether AI is deployed mainly to de-skill and replace, or to augment and enable. Depends on design decisions and market structure. The authors therefore push the reader to evaluate innovation by its labor market and power effects, not only by technical performance. Fourthly, digital platforms, rents, and the modern illusion of progress. Johnson and Acemoglu extend their argument to the contemporary economy by focusing on how digital technologies can amplify winner-take-most dynamics. Even when consumers enjoy convenience and new services, the authors argue that digital platforms may also increase concentration, strengthen gatekeeping power, and enable forms of extraction that shift income and influence upward. This helps explain how a society can appear technologically triumphant while experiencing anxiety about jobs, bargaining power, and inequality. The book challenges a common narrative in which digital innovation is assumed to be broadly democratizing by default. Instead, it invites readers to look at the institutional environment around platforms' competition policy, data governance, labor standards, and the political influence of dominant firms. While not denying genuine benefits, the authors emphasize trade-offs and distributional consequences that are easy to ignore when progress is measured mainly by new products or stock market valuations. This topic also connects to the author's broader critique of techno-optimism. The question is not whether digital tools are impressive, but whether their deployment expands opportunity and voice for the many or deepens dependence on a small set of powerful intermediaries. Lastly, A Manifesto for Steering Innovation Toward Shared Prosperity. Beyond diagnosis, the book is an argument for intentional governance of technology. The authors contend that societies can influence the direction and consequences of innovation through institutions and policy choices, especially by strengthening democratic accountability and aligning incentives with broad-based growth. They emphasize that rules affecting labor markets, competition, and the financing of research shape what kinds of innovations are pursued and how gains are distributed, rather than relying on heavy-handed centralized planning. The authors highlight the need to reshape the environment in which firms and inventors operate so that worker complementary innovation becomes more attractive than pure labor. Replacement. They also stress that values and rights matter. Participation, voice, and protections can change how technologies are adopted on the ground, affecting everything from workplace practices to political stability. In the context of artificial intelligence, this becomes a call to avoid defaulting to systems built only for cost-cutting and control. The book's constructive stance is that the future is still open, but it is open only if citizens and policymakers treat technology as a domain of political choice, where the aim is not innovation for its own sake, but innovation that supports dignity, opportunity, and widely shared prosperity. In conclusion, Power and Progress is best suited to readers who want a historically grounded challenge to the idea that markets and invention naturally deliver shared gains. Policymakers, business leaders, technologists, students of economics, and general readers concerned about inequality and the future of work will find value in its insistence that the direction of innovation is shaped by institutions and power, not just by scientific possibility. Intellectually, the book offers a clarifying framework for separating aggregate growth from distributional outcomes, helping readers ask who benefits, who pays, and which rules make inclusive outcomes more likely. Practically, it encourages a shift in perspective when evaluating digital platforms, and artificial intelligence attention should extend beyond novelty and productivity metrics to issues like bargaining power, competition, and democratic oversight. What helps the book stand out in the crowded technology and society category is its long-time horizon and its integration of political economy with technological change, compared with more purely futuristic or more purely technical accounts. It repeatedly returns to the same disciplined claim: broad prosperity has occurred when societies built countervailing forces and steered innovation toward complementing people, rather than replacing them. It leaves readers with a demanding but actionable conclusion: progress is a choice that must be organized. If you would like to support Simon Johnson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.